One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Football, fighting, and full on nonsense. The Stephen Housen Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello, everybody. This is Stephen Housen. This is Ben Adams. This is 32 minutes late, and we don't actually know which channel it's on at the moment. Thank you to anybody who's had the patience to stick with us. I have no idea what goes on with these technical errors that we get. No idea whatsoever. It's absolutely chaos. But thank you for waiting. Thank you for your patience. This is sponsored by Tops the Pot, which is a new syndication app where you guys can join in and check all sorts of stuff out. So you can go against your mate, you can say, I think they're going to win the league, you say, I think they're going to win the league, you throw your money in, and then it creates competition for you. There's all sorts of stuff that's coming out with it, and we're going to bring out our own way up. Where's that going? Didn't want to do that, did I? Wanted to do that. There we go. So thank you, all notification squad. What up, lads? So yes, as I was saying, this is sponsored by Tops the Pot, which is an app. You've got to be over 18, you've got to be based in the UK, and you get your own Betfair account with this as well. You can play for free, you can play for real money, you can bet using the Betfair odds. It's a really good app, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. The title of this is The Rooney Problem, and I see a lot of people at the ground that agree with what I say about Wayne Rooney. I see a lot of you guys online that disagree with what I say. Some of you quite aggressively as well, I might add. What do you think?
What, of whether he's passed it?
It's not just the case of whether he's passed it. Do you know what people are saying? Some people are saying, I need to show Wayne Rooney some respect. He needs to start respecting that badge before he gets shown respect. This is a guy that's handed in two transfer requests and does the things that he does, and he only seems to bother his ass playing when people have come out and
slagged him.
Yeah. That's not the sort of guy that I wanna.
No, you want him to be having the same attitude all the way through, don't you? Captain of the club, you got to lead by example.
Doesn't strike you as a captain, does he?
But I'm sure we said this plenty of times before. He's kind of captain by default.
He is captain by default.
Because there's no one else, or there wasn't anyone else. Especially when, and he was on his way out, wasn't he? And then Moyes gave him 5 years.
Captain. I'm just getting the comments up on here so we can check them out as well.
So, what do you do? Is he going to break the record, isn't he?
Undoubtedly.
He's broke the European record Thursday night, 39, out on his own. So, he has performed for us, but should he have done more? That's the question, isn't it? And I reckon he should have.
There we go, we're back. We're back, we fixed it. Yeah, he should have undoubtedly done more. 20, 21, 22, 23. This was a guy that was going to, at some point, be the best player in the world without a shadow of a doubt.
Was he, though?
Yeah.
Was he, though?
He was a force of nature.
Yeah, of course he was. But he was never going to be able to play like that. All these
assume that people are going to adapt and they're going to change and they're going to sort themselves out and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but in terms of adaption, that don't mean you can tear ass it up against the pitch. Not built like Wayne Rooney, because he's not built like an athlete, is he? He's built like,
which is why you expect someone who can acknowledge that. Because I'm sure the nutritionalists and people at United are saying you need to take extra care, not be going on benders.
Yeah, but if you go,
and people say, Phil Jagielka was there as well. Yeah, he was. But ultimately, when you're wearing a captain's armband for club and country, and that club happens to be the biggest club in the world.
There's other stuff as well, like about the players who was at the strip club. Was it Lallana and Henderson?
Yeah, they might have been on an orange juice, though. Who cares if they're getting titty shaked in the face?
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. Well, the fact is, they had a night off, didn't they? Yeah. He's got, I don't know. Anything with Wayne Rooney is headline news. The fact that he's been in the headlines since he was 16. You're selling your life story and writing five autobiographies, wasn't it? Serialized, like,
shit
from like age mid-20s. I mean, you're asking for it there. So it's a bit like Kanye and having a breakdown, isn't it, really?
Don't give a fuck about him either.
Well, he's. I think, but oh, I mean, I could get into some like conspiracy theory shit, like because some of the stuff he's saying. He, I don't know if you've seen it on the. I think it was Sacramento, and he just cut the music off, and he went on a rant for about 15 minutes, and started saying things like, Jay-Z, DJ Khaled. I know you got them killers. Don't let them come for me. He goes, no, they're not gonna like it because I'm speaking the truth. That sort of stuff he was saying.
The one thing I did say about it was that he's had to be hospitalized so he doesn't get wrecked for skipping out on his concerts.
Probably.
Insurance reasons.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to talk about conspiracies, I think that's more realistic than someone's out to get the guy.
Well, no, I don't know. But I'm just saying that if you're creating that sort of media attention for yourself, it comes with the territory. You've got to be able to take the good with the bad. So Rooney's got to be able to live in that spotlight. You go out banging grannies.
You look at the things that he's done throughout his career off the pitch. It's not helped him on the pitch whatsoever. That's it. No one got him drunk. He didn't get drunk behind his own back, did he? No.
Nah, I think it has been blown out of all proportion, though.
Of course it has.
He's like, I wouldn't be arsed. If it didn't look like it was affecting his performances, I would not be arsed.
But
go on, like, because Roy Keane used to go out and get arrested for assault. It didn't affect him, did it?
No, he didn't.
Possibly until like that. I can't.
But Rooney knows the era that we live in.
Yeah.
This didn't come as a shock to him that this would happen. This, like, you have to question how the likes of the one where he get KO'd off Phil Barty in his kitchen. How does that get out?
But that's.
There could only have been a handful of people that party.
But that's that again. That's probably carefully edited, isn't it? Because he's saying after that he got straight back up. He weren't actually sparkled.
Mate, it doesn't matter. You get put down, you're affected. You can't not be affected.
No. But well, he scored the next day.
He did, and you know he scores again after this. that's what annoys me, that he can get fired up for shit like that. But years, he's looked turd.
Yeah, well, let him get in the front page of the newspaper for doing some
bangers. Let's go and get him twisted.
Every week.
Let's get him chiselled out of his box and see what happens then.
Yeah, if he made him put him in a performance, then yeah, that stokes his fire. Maybe it's all like, oh, has he had enough? Like, I mean, he looked well excited when Matt scored that goal on Thursday. He was well happy.
We've said this prior, that he obviously gets on really well with all the players. Every player comes out and says Rooney mixes mint with everybody, right? What the problem is, like, people say I hate Wayne Rooney. I don't. I'm disappointed in the guy. I'm really disappointed in the guy because he was idolised by United fans. He was such a fucking good player. He embodied everything that we liked on the pitch. He was a battler. He was a fucking warrior. He had the natural ability. He played with all the pace and passion that you would expect from someone. It fucking kills me what's happened with Wayne Rooney, the way it's gone. But we said this before. You said you thought he played all right. I said that I think people are looking at the fact that he got a very good goal, which was a fucking excellent goal, and it was a fucking excellent assist. But the other 88 minutes of the game, I thought it was largely disappointing. I thought it was a very ordinary performance. I was maybe being a bit overboard when I said it was shit. Zlatan was shit.
Yeah, I thought
Luke Shaw was shit. Well, they were shit. Rooney's was very ordinary. But again, what happens with me usually is that someone will say, for example, Ashley Young was world class yesterday, and I'll go, no, he fucking wasn't. And people are like, you ate Ashley Young? Mm. No, you just got carried away. The problem is everyone's always black or white, and more often than not, shit's grey.
But that's the whole point of having an opinion, isn't it?
I know, but I just think I'm actually more down the middle than people think. It's when people go more one way and the other way.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Or like, people used to say, oh, fucking Fellaini's completely shit, or this guy's completely shit. And I was like, actually, no, there's a place for him. It's happened with Rooney, where, you know, I think there is a place for Rooney in the squad. Yes, we are reading the comments, lads, but we'll get to the comments a little bit later on when we get some of the stuff we've gone that we need to get through. I can't even speak now. I'm so fucking tired. You know why I'm tired, don't you? And I'm pissed off as well, because I was going for the 7-7. Let's fucking leave Rooney for now. We've hammered the poor fucker to death now. I was going for 7 games in 7 days, and actually it was both easier and harder than I expected it to be at the same time, which is
why you don't do fuck all else anyway.
How dare you, dirty pig. I got well fucked over in Glasgow. So I gets to Glasgow train station with Squawker Dave at midnight, and I'm thinking, get my laptop out, start editing this vlog. He's just connected that. I started editing this vlog, and then jobbed.
Where was Squawker Dave?
His train was at 11:30, mine was at 4:30.
4:30.
That was the earliest train back to Manchester.
What, after the game? So
I was like, right, this is no problem. I'll go and sit in there, I'll start editing my fucking vlog, and
but it was fucking freezing.
You don't know how cold it was.
Mate, it was cold round here today.
You don't even know how cold it was. It was everything was icy 6 o'clock before the game. So at 4 a.m, shit was super fucking icy. I went to go and sit in the train station. Guy's like, where are you going? I said, got a train. Obviously, that's 4.5 hours to my train, but I have got a train.
Yeah.
I'm not an homeless guy. Like, I just want to go and fucking sit down. And he was like, train station shuts, mate, till 4. Come back at 4. I was like, bastard. No problem. Glasgow's a 24-hour city. I'm sure I'll find somewhere.
Is it, though?
No.
I wouldn't associate it being 24.
It's like
Ashton. I don't think I want to go to Scotland even in summer.
No.
It's fucked. Remember when Andy got married?
Yeah.
Oh, we thought, we'll go up a couple of days before. Went to Edinburgh, it was. And bank holiday weekend.
Oh, did you go early?
Yeah, we went the day before because I thought, I can't be asked getting on a coach. Oh, yeah, coach pushed, from like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, me and Whelan did that.
No
I
chance.
I was in shit state.
So was we. We thought bank holiday Sunday, it'd be booming Edinburgh.
Nope.
It's not a bank holiday in Scotland, is it, in August? So he was like, everything's shut. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, God. Well, remember that guy? Because obviously, for those of you not aware, to go in Sikh temples, you have to be wearing headdress. Hence why Sikhs wear headdress. And some fucking helmet that we was with, he was like, we'll just go in, put a napkin on your head. Remember?
No.
And everyone was going, no, mate, that scouse cunt.
Oh, yeah. John Donnelly. Yeah. Well, we didn't even go in anyway because he said, "Don't, no point going to the temple because it's boring."
I was with him and someone else, and he was like, "We'll just put like," and he got like a fucking literally a napkin. I was like, "I'm not going in there with a napkin on my head, mate." Are you fucking mad? And then we ended up in the pub all afternoon, didn't we? Yeah, literally all afternoon. Sikh weddings are long, mate.
Oh, mate.
How long was my ceremony? Like fucking 12 minutes or some shit, wasn't it? Yeah. Like fucking do you knuckles out of the fucking place?
Yeah. It was about 3 hours, wasn't it? I remember being sat on that.
Well, ages.
We sat on that boat.
There was that weird shit bar with like the mad concrete walls. Remember, like it had sloping concrete walls.
I can't.
Yeah, it was on the bar boat for a bit, but it was one that had like a little playground right next to the fucker.
I got in about 8 o'clock that morning.
I was ill.
It was supposed to be like.
Well, we got up at 5, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think we got home at like dinner time the next day. No kip, just right through, boozing. And I remember like sleeping on Whelan's back. Whelan was like hunched forward, so I just fucking got my head down on his back.
That is exactly the reason why we knew it, because it was for fuck this. 24 hours, no chance.
Oh, fucking hell. Jerry in a comment says, how boring is people still calling Pogba overrated by every fan base? I've seen some United ones saying that he was poor. He wasn't poor. He was fucking brilliant, I thought, the other night. He was fucking excellent.
He's a beast.
I don't know what people are... Are people expecting Zidane-esque shit in every single game?
I think
game.
They're expecting FIFA.
Yeah, maybe shit. They are expecting FIFA shit.
But he's exactly what we've missed in our midfield for, like...
I think he could be a little bit more combative without the ball. He's a little bit timid, I think, sometimes with the ball, but without... Yeah. Without the ball, but with the ball. He's fucking magic. He's spraying it around with... It's not just... Sometimes I don't like the way
Rooney must look at him and think, fucking, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, sometimes Rooney's balls, they hang a bit. And all the defence is like, well, that's going to win. Whereas Pogba sort of gets him out of his feet and fires him.
Yeah, Scholes-esque. Really
That's Scholes-esque.
Yeah.
Rooney slinging a couple of balls out. And this isn't me having to go at Rooney. This is just talking about the guy's abilities and...
Yeah, but you used to say that, oh, yeah, it could be semi-finished.
He could have.
Could do that.
He no, could have, but clearly he was getting off his fucking tits of a weekend and not fucking training hard enough. Fucking
bad. We finished training, what, at 12:30? Then you got the rest of the day to do whatever.
Yeah, and some go and do extra. We spoke about this a lot.
Mm.
You know, the likes of Blackett down at Mick Clegg's lab.
Yeah.
And you don't hear of the Rooney doing that. And some people took the quote that I said, you know, you heard of Giggs doing yoga. And you don't hear a Rooney doing yoga, and they're like, "Oh, Rooney's not doing yoga, so shit." It's like, no, it's not. It's not the fact that he's not doing yoga. It's his attitude that you don't hear of him doing those things. You don't hear of it. You don't hear of him doing all those extra things. Someone there just saying it's that he's got to perform in the big games. He does have to perform in the big games, but Joe, sometimes he didn't. Ronaldo didn't perform in a big game because he was the threat and he gets double marked. Mm. So sometimes him being double marked allows others to actually play the game. And I think that happens all the time.
He did sacrifice himself, didn't he, a lot?
Of course he did.
Playing that wide.
Of course he did.
And maybe like he'd have another 20, 30 goal, 40, 50 goal, yeah. Maybe. He could be like way out in front.
He could be,
you're looking at it in different thing. But if you look at his career, it's mad because you see like, when it comes up like ex-Reds birthdays and that, this is what he won. Like Rio, for example, I think he won 5 Premier League.
Maybe. Really fucking smoked him.
And you're like, he's only won 5.
That's only because you've got Giggs, Scholes and Neville who are over 10.
Yeah, in the context of it, in like, well, we won 13 Premier Leagues and then you've got Gerrard who's got none. Thanks, mate. Do you see the quotes that Anderson pulled out this week?
the state of the media, the Liverpool loving is so fucking.
He was a good player. Like let's be honest, he was a good player.
Very Rooney-esque, in that he relied a lot on physicality, brute force, and grit and determination. And I think that's a lot of the problem with England, where players like Rooney and Gerrard are lauded, and then the likes of Michael Carrick, technical, cerebral footballers that can actually dictate a game. I put up the other day Carrick 5 Gerrard 0 and someone was like, don't you dare suggest that Michael Carrick's better than Gerrard, and you go, in a lot of aspects he is, in a lot of aspects. Now you never really saw Carrick grab a game the way Steven Gerrard did, which was fantastic the way he did it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Keane-esque, Brian Robson-esque,
Roy the Rovers,
Roy the Rovers shit. But I think over the course of his career, I think Gerrard came in, went bam and then zoom, whereas I think Carrick sort of went like that, like a real smooth trajectory. And I think if England had have actually put the faith into someone like Carrick rather than allowing the media to pick the teams like the Gerrard and the Lampard fuck-ups.
But that's the problem with this country. The media is like dictates a lot of it.
Like, what's that guy called? Is it Adam Smith? I mean, he's a fucking cracking defender.
From Bournemouth?
Is it Adam Smith? Summit Smith at Bournemouth.
I think there's two Smiths, isn't there?
One of the best centre-halves in the league last year. You never seen him getting called up for England. Never. Like, Wilshere's probably going to get a call up through being at Bournemouth.
Because
he's played three
games in a row.
There's some excellent
Phil Jones will be getting one then.
Undoubtedly. But there's some excellent footballers that don't play in the top 4 or 5 teams who are English that people just don't fucking look at.
It's not fashionable, is it?
And that's why.
But that's always been the case, because you look at Bruce Pallister, I've said before, haven't we? Like,
yeah, who was it that time? Tony Adams and Sol Campbell, sort of. Level of dudes. A bit earlier, you're looking at Des Walker.
Sol Campbell was after that, wasn't it? So Gary Mabbott. I don't know, but yeah, the media distorts everything.
Robert in the comments says, I think Liverpool are going to commemorate Gerrard's retirement by bottling a title race in his honour, which is an excellent segue into what's just happened to Coutinho.
Well, yeah, if he's depends how long he's out for. He's left on crutches with his ankle in a protective cast, hasn't he? So
he's been their best player this year by a country mile, and I think
see when Barcelona come, Steve Cook,
the fellow, excellent defender. I just shit with names today, especially today. I'm so fucking tired. This week has really caught
up.
Waking
up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day.
Oldham called off
if anything was ever going to get called off, it was going to be Oldham.
I know, but
you could have gone to Bury.
I could have, but I had too much shit.
They were 2-0 up against Millwall.
I still haven't done anything.
And then they got beat. They got beat 3-2.
Who did?
Bury. I think it was 2-0 up. And they got beat 3. Oh, they might have been 2-1 up, actually. They got beat 3-2.
Sylvester, why do you keep asking if Adam's going to leave full-time Devils? Jerry says, what about the referees this year? Is it just me, or are we getting fuck off from ref every single game? Yeah, do you know what? You can speak about City being a little bit fortunate again today. Super scrappy goal against Burnley to get a win. And that's the sort of bounce. Every bounce is going for them at the moment. Every bounce is going against us at the moment. It's just it'll level out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. I've not been worried.
No, I'm feeling.
I've seen the progress. You can see there's been loads of progress since he started. Yeah, we might not be like picking up all the points that we want with them draws and
I'm not worried. I'm impressed. I was impressed against Arsenal. Thought it was a great performance. Yeah, definitely. Unlucky.
It did feel like a defeat.
It was easy Thursday night against Feyenoord. Like, ridiculously easy.
Like, some of the interplay was like...
Oh, it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was class.
That midfield, the midfield that I want to be seeing, because obviously we have no Herrera. Herrera, Carrick and Pogba, I think that's the three.
But where, like on Thursday, it was Rooney, Pogba, Mkhitaryan, Zlatan.
It was absolutely magic, by the way.
And Mata, yeah. There was like, basically we had five attacking, didn't we? And Pogba like dropped back to there and then.
And Carrick literally, he didn't have a lot to do. He marshalled the stuff out the way that he needed to do.
So it's like, if you played a midfield three, then who would you leave out?
Yeah,
up,
now.
Up top, yeah.
So, people are going to think I'm bashing Rooney again, although I picked him in my team for tomorrow's match. But out of them, I dropped Rooney. I've dropped Mkhitaryan for this weekend and kept Rooney in. I've kept him on the left.
Rooney's going to keep his place, I would imagine. Yeah.
So I've got Rooney on the left, I've got Mata on the right, Zlatan up front, and then that midfield three, which I really like. I think it's an excellent blend of different attributes, which is Carrick, Herrera and Pogba.
Yeah,
and then the defence can pick it, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think Mkhitaryan's going to play again. We've got a game Wednesday, haven't we? League Cup quarter final.
Start him in that. Let him tear it up. See what happens.
The squad is strong.
It's massively strong.
Yeah, and
almost not too strong. I don't think you can be too strong, but you've got no obvious he's fit, he starts, apart from like Pogba, Zlatan. I think there's a lot of players that are on a bit of a level.
Well, he likes to have that core, doesn't he? Down the spine. Mm. Goalkeeper, centre half, centre mid, centre forward, and then everyone else is pretty much interchangeable. You're playing some games, you're playing not.
Here's a big question from Shaquille Mia in the comments. Who do you think we should get to replace Carrick when he retires? There's a couple of names. Is it Vogel at Dortmund?
I don't know.
I'm sure I'm fucking a pronunciation up, so I like to do that. There's Cruz, there's Rakitic, and there's not a great deal else out there in the world.
But what are you trying to replace light for light? Because that's where you struggle when you're trying to do that. So.
And we didn't replace light for light when we got Carrick in. And everyone, I remember people kicking off like, you're replacing Roy Keane with this fucking prick.
We're in 16.
Yeah. Oh, that fucked him up, didn't it? If he'd got 21, no one would give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he gets to 16, he plays centre mid, people are like,
why is he not
snap some fucker? I clearly remember people clicking off like, we've gone for this crap. Because all he does is pass it fucking sideways. No, if you want to go light for light, the closest light for light, I think, and the guy should be given an opportunity, is Sean Goss. But he has to be given that opportunity.
Well, it's coming back to that youngsters, isn't it? And people saying, like, well, why is he not promoted? Like, I can't even say his name, Axel.
Why hasn't he promoted? I don't know what Axel needs to do. Timothy Fosu-Mensah might be another shout to step in after Carrick. Totally different footballer, totally different style of game. More Brian Robson-esque than Carrick-esque, but maybe that flip round again.
And that's more like a Mourinho type of defensive.
I thought he'd have loved him.
Yeah. Well, he's not.
Was he at the Trafford Centre tonight while everyone else is at the hotel?
He might be, but he's only 19, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's got to be patient.
Oh, no, he's 18. He's not 19 till January.
That says it all then. Because Mourinho wants people he can trust. He needs to get that. I think he's got to do it at United. Because that's our tradition, that's our history. He's obviously got Pogba by a bit of default on that, but that keeps it going. But I think once he gets a settled squad and then he can introduce it, and then he's shown already, like, if you play well enough, you'll keep your place.
Absolutely. Herrera is the standout for that.
Well, Rashford, you know, yeah. Hull, well, and then...
Start the season, he goes, I will not be playing. He's like, settle your boots, lads. I won't be playing Rashford and Zlatan in the same team unless we're going to completely dominate again.
But he doesn't... Rashford doesn't play centre-forward, though, which is a shame because I think he needs to play there. I mean, he's learning a new role.
He does. But I think instead of playing him on the left, I see why he brings him in, because he's inverted on the left and he'll cut in and shoot.
Yeah.
So he's going to get your goals. But how fucking good is his crossing?
Oh, yeah.
He's sick.
He's been working on that, definitely.
So play him on the right because he's got no left foot. He's all right
foot.
So play him on the right.
You see that?
Get to
oh
the fucking
God.
Byline.
I can't remember what I was reading. Someone saying like, "Oh, I'll just have him." He wasn't. No, fuck. I can't remember. It was someone. It might have been on Radio Talksport. It might have been the Expo. Can't remember. And he was saying, "I would have him for an hour a day, banging a ball against the wall with his weak foot, and because he's got no left foot. It's a coaching error. And I thought, well, it's not. He's obviously that good on his stronger foot.
Yeah, that is his option. Like we said before, you see some of the tricks that players like him do. Like, look at that fucking round the world with a back heel like he does, right? You see, people look at freestylers and go, oh my God. And then, but most Premier League footballers can do that level of shit.
Mm.
But because it's that much on the line and it's that hard, that they're trying to keep it fucking simple because the level's so fucking hard.
Well, the people are getting on your back, the crowd and everything, your manager.
Can you imagine what it's like, 70,000 people, when you miss, they go, oh!
But it's probably worse if you tried something and it didn't work and Mourinho's going.
Look at Memphis. Because I think that's what happens with him. I think he tries too hard at the moment. I think he needs to... Even when he came on the other night, he looked scared.
He needs to relax a bit. He's like, I've got 12 minutes here. I've got to do something. I've got to beat everyone. Like Mkhitaryan, I said to you, like, he was mint, but he could have probably passed a few chances instead of like shooting, like open, you know, people in better places.
Rufus coming off a Stretford end if he scored though.
Yeah, oh
you
yeah.
You could feel the energy of everyone around us.
It's like Forlan when he'd not scored on it. Like, come on, we all want you to do it.
That's what impressed me the most about it was his ability to ghost and get on the end of everything. Yeah. And the way he forced, like Herrera does as well sometimes as well. So it'd be interesting to... it'd be interesting to see what Herrera and Mkhitaryan are like in the same team because they've not played together yet. I think they've both... been off and on at the same time because he came on from in the derby, didn't he?
Yeah,
so we haven't really seen what Herrera do because Herrera's quite forceful in terms of like he's give and go all the time, innit? And I think
the movement like
from Mkhitaryan was fucking phenomenal. He was forcing one touch football from a couple of his runs,
and that's what we've not
good was his close control.
Yeah, it's mint. I mean, we've not had that for so long, at least the last 3 years. There's the interplay. And people are just static up front, and it's well easy to mark against. And that's when you.
That
just
was
play
the thing
them.
That if I could say what did Mkhitaryan bring, it was movement in that final third.
You don't know where he's popping up, and I think that's what Mourinho likes to have those three interchangeable, where like Mata can do.
He's a very similar player to Mata, though, don't you think? He's quicker.
Yeah, he's quicker.
And I think he ghosts onto the end of stuff a little bit more.
But why can't you? You probably won't play him against. Well, like Mourinho, he didn't play him against Arsenal.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't think that you're playing both against Arsenal or someone, a team of, you know, that nature, maybe, unless you play someone a bit more defensive minded in with him.
Yeah.
Like maybe the Pogba, Carrick and Herrera as a free, and then.
See, what I thought with Luke Shaw being so poor on Thursday, we didn't really see him as an attacking outlet. When I saw that team sheet, I was like, that's quite a narrow team, even though we got a lot of crosses in. No one's going around the outside, and we saw the difference once Lingard and Rashford came on, of people taking people on and trying to get around the outside, especially Rashford. We didn't have that in terms of what the starting team was, but it was a very good footballing team. And I thought, what we're going to have to do here is we're gonna have to use Valencia, we're going to have to use Shaw, and that's where the crosses are going to come in. And then you'll have loads of movement in and around the box. He didn't really go down like that.
But he might have said to Shaw, like, don't overload.
Maybe.
Because Valencia is going to go and he's going to give you that anyway. Mm. We still need that defensive stability.
They are very similar, very direct and really quick, the fucking pair of them.
But you would get more of an end product from Valencia, without a doubt. So you've got to be careful of going too gung ho. And if you look at, like, because he only played Carrick as a holding midfielder. Like, normally we play Carrick, Herrera, and Pogba.
Mm.
So for that extra insurance, might have said to Luke Shaw, look, just.
Let Valencia go and you watch the runners.
Yeah, you watch runners because you don't want to get overrun. Pace at the back's not great with Blint
Jones.
And Jones. So you need someone, and you know, if you've got Carrick there as well, we don't want to be getting hit on a counter.
Yeah.
So it could well have
done
that.
Once Bay gets back into that defence, I'd still keep Blint in because I think Blint's quiet marshalling in that back four is really intelligent and really good. And I think he can start off a lot because he can come out of
defence. He's proved a lot of people wrong, hasn't he? Like, he gets written off all the time. Played 100 games.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's an achievement. And you think, fucking hell, has he been here that long?
Nope.
He's playing on the game. So it gives you that consistent. I mean, when he's shit, he has a mare, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I was terrified about him up against Lukaku last season. And he just fucking dealt with him, didn't he? Yeah. Absolutely dealt with him.
It was like, remember Johnny Evans getting rinsed off Carlton Cole one time? Oh my days.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, today is, speaking of Carlton Cole, Carlton Palmer was the name that just popped into my head then, which led me down another little garden path. Because 24 years ago today, 24 years ago today, I was having my birthday party in the Old Trafford Museum. Check that out. My 9th birthday party.
Even though it's like your birthday is ages away.
It's only next weekend.
Oh,
So I was having my birthday party in the Old Trafford Museum. I couldn't have it on my birthday way because we was playing my birthday. We played City that year on my birthday at Old Trafford, and we signed Eric Cantona. Yeah. And half of my birthday party got cut short because Cantona's press conference, because it used to happen at the stadium, not at Carrington like it does now, or even at the Cliff, was happening, so they couldn't take it round. And they actually gave me the shirt that he signed with, which just says Cantona with no number, which I then wore and then lost like a prick. But 24 years ago, we signed Cantona for $1.2 million.
And well, that makes you feel old, that, doesn't it?
Really. And I fell in love with football properly. With Eric Cantona. I liked it till then. Paul Ince was my favourite player up until then.
Yeah, Ince was one of my favourites as well.
Combative as fuck. Mm. And then Cantona came. It was love. Absolutely fucking loved it. And I was chatting to Simon Wadsworth before, his United offer, just on Facebook. And he was saying about Cantona. And I said, obviously joking, I'm just gutted we missed out on David Hurst.
And Lee Chapman.
And then I said I'm pissed off we didn't get Carlton Palmer as well, which is what it popped into my head, and we got that fucking Donkey Roy Keane instead. What's he ever done in the game?
Carlton Palmer lived off his, like, I played
link,
for England,
linked to United,
and the fact that he's got England caps,
and he got one England cap or three, is it one or three?
I don't know.
It's not a lot.
It's got a few. It's got a bit.
Can you imagine if we'd assigned David Hurst and Carlton Palmer instead of Roy Keane and Eric Cantona? Because they was our first choices. They was our first fucking choice, and we ended up settling for Roy Keane and settling for Eric Cantona. What? I know hindsight's 2020, but I remember people buzzing about Carlton Palmer. The guy had like 8 foot legs.
Yeah, he was leggy. He covered the grass. He wouldn't get anywhere near anything now, is he? Like, technical ability.
Oh, he was turd.
He played 18 times for England.
No way did he.
Yeah. Scored once. Played for the B team as well. Remember when they used to have B teams?
They must have scrapped that about 2000, I reckon.
Can't remember.
Can you imagine getting a call up for the B team? Like, oh.
Really, mate? I'll fucking...
I was going to play golf for the lads. I'd rather play golf for the lads.
I was going to go Barbados. Got a few days off.
Fucking hell. Right, should we tell them what they can win?
Yeah, let's do it.
Who wants a PlayStation 4? Put your hand up if you want a PlayStation 4. Get in the comments right now. Smash that like button and show us that you want a PlayStation 4. And once we see them likes start going up, we'll tell you how you're going to win a PlayStation 4.
Easy.
On New Year's Eve, we'll tell you. So smash them like button. Let's see that them likes start cruising in. And we will tell you how you can win a PlayStation 4 for free. As long as you're over 18 in the UK. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Is that dog snoring?
Yeah, I think so. And it's got to be on the App Store, isn't it?
Yes, so over 18, have access to an iOS device, iPhone or iPad, be in the UK. There you go. So all hands are up.
Are we allowed to say if you're not over 18, get...
And if you're not over 18, I can't tell you to get your mum to sign up and do it instead, because that would be dodgy, wouldn't it? But if you want to win a PlayStation 4, I suggest that's how you do it.
With FIFA.
With FIFA. If you've not got FIFA, we'll sort your FIFA out. If you have got FIFA, I can buy you a beer. Seems like you're over 18, aren't you? Right, so thanks to our sponsors, Tops the Pot, up in the corner over here. One of the apps that they've got is they've got a syndicate app where you can have a bit of a league.
Yep.
And what we're going to do is, one of the things that we're going to do as an individual is you can turn £2 to a grand in 9 even money bets, which Madness. Are pretty fucking straightforward. It's just having the bottle once it gets to like 200 quid, 500 quid to be putting it on. Because I remember when we used to play stuff like this, I had fucking 480 odd quid riding on Barcelona, who were 2-0 up in the 89th minute to come in to win like 30p, right? And it was against Atletico Madrid at home, and then they ended up scoring 2 and drawing. Madness. But yes, so we have got a PlayStation 4. We've not got it, actually. We ordered it today, so it'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday or something. And we'll give you the full details on Thursday's stream, how you can do it, and we'll also be dropping them in the Reddit group. So head over to Reddit.com/r/Housen, and all the details are going to be getting put in there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday about how you can win. But essentially, it's a free app register for free. You have to register for Betfair while you're doing the registration. That's why you've got to be over 18 and in the UK to do it. And once you're in there, we'll drop you the details. The game that we're going to do is who can take the most virtual cash. And we'll start with, say, a tenner or something. Rules will be decided anyway. But we'll start with, like, a tenner. And who, at the end of the month, has got the most cash, virtual cash, so you don't even have to risk anything, wins a PlayStation. It's as simple as that.
Hence the name, Tops the Pot. You hence come name, top of the pot, you win it. It's easy.
And every month we're going to do a sick fucking prize like this, and we're going to do sick games, and we can subscribe.
And we're going to try and win some real cash as well.
Yeah, actually, that bet where you can take 9 even money bets, you can do 19 and get what?
A million.
Okay, a million.
That's if Betfair will actually take that bet, because I don't know whether they actually take single money bets.
Once you start putting 500 bag on, like...
I don't think I'd put 500 bag on.
Probably leave it at that one, yeah. 18 bets and just shrug your shoulders and go, fuck it.
I'll be happy with that.
If you are outside the UK, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. There's no way we can bet for that at the moment.
Hopefully it's going to be coming out
soon.
Top
the Pots are working on international markets and stuff like that, but Top the Pot even are working on international markets and all the rest of it. So more details on that as it happens. They're also looking at different apps and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, for Android as well as standard, but iOS is the most popular one in it.
So, yeah, so if you're on iOS...
Obviously start with that.
If you're on iOS, you're over 18 and you're in the UK, for free, you could... All you need to do is sign up for Betfair, and I'll throw the link in the comments once this video gets uploaded.
Get yourself a PS4.
Just
come and play
Christmas.
Me on FIFA. I'm on it now. I've got me online.
But you're not?
What do you mean?
What's your username?
I can't remember it off the top of my head. But I'll get it home. It's something.
The name of the app for everybody who's asking, it's right there. Tops the Pot. That's all you got to search for. That's the icon that's on the App Store. So go and download it now, and then I will put the code for the league on Reddit throughout the week, and I will also drop the shit out of it on Thursday. But you have to be on it by Friday, because once the game starts, there'll be no more takers. So make sure you get on it rapid, because as soon as the 1st of December comes round, we'll be starting the game, and then if you're not on it,
you'll have to wait until January then.
Yeah, and then January we're going to have something equally as good. We was looking at some of the shirts that I've got here to give away as a prize. We got some signed Ryan Giggs ones, we got one signed by the whole squad. It might be something like that. Why don't you guys let us know? We've got a decent budget for prizes, so if you want VIP match tickets, if you want, I don't know, maybe an Xbox in February.
Who plays Xbox?
I don't know. Maybe an iPad. I don't know. We can throw prizes of that sort of level out. So you tell us what you want, and yeah, we will.
And if either of us win it, then it'll be the next one down.
Put it back in the next month.
it'll be the next one down.
Yeah, if we win it, then we'll knock it down to.
We're exempt. Stephen Alston podcast employees are exempt from entering the competition.
Let me show you about this though. Pass us one of those, fella. So, thanks to Footprint Agency, which is Ryan Giggs' agency, Paul Scholes' agency, Gary Neville, Nicky Butt's agency, they hooked us up with these. So, I entered a competition last week and won that. There's two of them.
Well, you usually wear two boots.
You do usually wear two boots.
Yeah. Remember, like, Reebok boots? Like, does anyone wear Reebok boots? Did Reebok sponsor anyone?
Well, this is what I was saying last night. I spoke to his agent and I said, cleats. I don't remember anybody. Well, they sponsor UFC now. Yeah. But I don't remember anybody else being sponsored by Reebok apart from Ryan Giggs.
Well, like, they give.
So I'm going to get a nice box for these, and when we move this office downstairs, these will be on display permanently.
They give out wrappers, as in, like, rappers.
Yeah, yeah, they got a good, like, deals. Urban wear stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm sure the game's got a deal with them. Oh, no, Hurricanes, I don't know. Oh, no, G-Unit, wasn't it?
Yeah. And a lot of basketball, I think, and American football at times. I've got a New York Giants shirt, which is Reebok. I don't know if they're still Reebok, though. Any news on the Bailly injury? Am I worried about the defender situation? I'm not, because once Bailly comes back, then I think he'll be fine, won't he?
Yeah. Well, is he going to be back in time to go to African Cup of Nations?
I hope not, but probably fucking will be, won't it? He's called Ivory, I mean, so they've not got tons of defenders. It'd be fucking him, and is it Kolo Touré as well?
Yeah, but I don't know whether he still plays, is it? international. Probably they probably never retired, are they, from there? Drogba, does he still play for him?
Probably. Yeah. Is he in China at the minute, or did he not go? Did he go? He went
MLS. He just finished MLS, hasn't he? And he's. I don't think he's. He's not retiring because he's obviously still got that insatiable desire to win league titles, unlike someone that we mentioned before. He even went to America and he called. I think
Stevie May.
Did they win the.
They're the most successful team in America. He went to America and they could win fuck all. Oh, you scouts, no bad.
They might have won the Western Conference, but that's like fuck all, isn't it? It's the MLS Cup, I think, which is the playoff one. Yeah, thing, yeah. They didn't win that.
Nope.
So he tried it once, didn't win it. Throw his pram at. Ties out of pram.
Oh, Terry Henry was also sponsored by Reebok. Cheers for that, Jordan. Who knew? Mm. Drogba's at Montreal right now. There you go.
But that and his contract finished with them though, and he's deciding what he wants to do now.
He's still playing. Wow.
Who's going to win the league? I think Liverpool.
Not without Coutinho. Their squad. I said this on something last week when someone asked me. I don't know what the fuck it was. I said they're playing excellent at the moment, but the squad's small in terms of quality that they've got. They've obviously got 20 odd players, but in terms of quality footballers, they've not got a lot. And I think even in the starting 11, they're lacking a few decent ones. A couple of injuries to keep players on their foot.
Well, I think Firmino had a bit of an injury as well. So don't know whether he's out for a bit, but they've got the benefit of not having that
and
many games.
And also got Sturridge.
But he doesn't really fit into there because does he? They got Origi as well.
But once he gets injured,
they've got a lot of forward players, but defensively they're suspect, aren't they? It's that keeper. You just need to threaten him, and then
Liverpool win the league next year anyway. That's how it goes, isn't it? Next year's their year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
They've normally called it a day by now though, and thrown a towel in and said, "Yeah, actually, next year we'll win it." I can't remember if they play everyone December or January though. Everyone's got to play everyone soon, apart from us.
Chelsea have got a pretty decent.
No, they've got a few to play now.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it Spurs then? I was watching the game just before, and they said one of them's got. They're not playing like any of the so-called title contenders or that many over this next period.
It is the crazy thing, right? We're not out of the race. We're not out of the race because if we can, Chelsea was out of the race.
We
put six wins together. Is it seven yet? It'd be seven now. I don't know what score it was before.
They won 2-1.
There you go. So it's seven. They put seven wins together, top of the league. That can happen to us. It can.
Yeah,
the
no
quality
reason,
is
no
there.
Reason why not. Especially once you get the Zorya game out of the way, then there's no.
Just concentrate.
Yeah, just concentrate on the league. You've got until what, February, end of February, until that kicks in. League Cup, maybe have, if we beat West Ham on Wednesday, we'll have two games in January. And then you've got the FA Cup. But yeah, we've got the whole of December.
Go for it.
And our squad is big enough to compete. Injuries, touch wood, is piling up. Like
that's laminate at the beam.
they don't look like they're doing as bad as what they have done previous years.
So guy here saying we're totally out of the race, just face it. We're not out of the race. We was worse than this in fucking February and March before and come and won the league.
I think just looking at people use the comparison of like, well, Moyes and LVG and the number of points he got. Well,
different team, different manager, different league that they're playing in.
There was teams that were running away with the league, weren't they? Just like one or two that
was always Arsenal as well. Arsenal always run away with the league, and then until the pressure November. Comes on and they just fucking crumble.
Yeah, I know. Every year, without fail.
Every year, so that's it. Yeah, we've got an easy December. We've got
Everton away, haven't we?
Deserve anything from any of them games, right?
No.
So I'll take all them three defeats. It's the fucking draws. It's the draws against Arsenal where we clearly won the game.
Burnley.
It's the draw against Burnley where we clearly won the game. And you do enough in those games to come away with three points, and the lads will be sitting there in the change room like, what the fuck?
But they won't be that. They'll be disheartened the fact that, yeah, we've only got a point here, we should have taken three, but they'll be able to see there, you know, it's coming. Like that, it should have been 5-6-7-0. On Thursday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, West Ham are a bit of a like hit and miss, aren't they? Sometimes they turn up, sometimes they don't.
Remember when they thought Payet was better than Zidane? Get fucked. I like Payet as well.
Yeah, he's top.
I don't think
he wants to be there, does he? That probably be an end all of it.
Probably. There you go.
He said, oh, they might unleash Andy Carroll tomorrow on us.
He's played one game this year, I think.
Yeah, and he got all that when he played against us last game at Upton Park last year. We just didn't. There was no game management of it, was it? When we got beat 3-2, and he did. He was too hot to handle.
He gets like that occasionally, doesn't he? And sometimes big ass forwards like that because he's mobile for a big motherfucker as well, and that's where the deadliness comes in.
And he's great in the air for a big lad.
He is good in the air. Yeah, you don't. He's. I wonder what it is about why people can just thrive at Newcastle. What is it about the club? Because they've had an uncanny number of number nines that just completely tear it up, and then they move away and just fucking.
It's pressure and expectation again, doesn't it? It comes down to that.
What do you, the fucking Geordies put pressure on people?
Yeah, they do, but you're not on the same pressure as you're in that spotlight of a top four, five, six. Do you know what I mean? Newcastle, yeah, you're going to be on the periphery, so you can go out and do it. I don't know. There's less attention if you're living in London and stuff like that, or you're living in, I don't know, because Newcastle's a big footballing city, so fuck knows.
I think the pressure's on there, you know. I definitely think the pressure's on at Newcastle, and it's just weird how so many people just look world class there, virtually world class there, and then they move generally to a bigger club, and then they just don't fucking cut it. Do you reckon we'll be in any trouble tomorrow with these knobhead West Ham away fans? Yeah, I do actually. I fucking do. It was a bit rum on Thursday as we were filming. They obviously kept the Feyenoord fans in. Feyenoord fans are known for a fucking tear up, aren't they?
Mm.
Most of the games in Holland, amongst the big three or four clubs, are no away fans. so they fucking love a dust up, and they obviously borrow a lot from English culture because a lot of their songs that they were singing was in English, which is fucking madness. But they let them all out. And we were filming on Smack Busby Way this time. And yeah, it got a little bit rum. And then the fucking police horses come up to us and was like, telling us to move. So I'm not even fucking, not even Dutch, you dickhead.
Didn't they have him in a holding pen as well? Like, sort of, because there was loads that turned up with tickets. Who was it who was buying them tickets?
Oh, every cunt. There was two stood next to us.
Yeah, but who was buying them on their behalf?
I don't know if he was buying them themselves. Mm. My old man phoned up to get Jaden one. Because he got an email saying you can buy extra tickets, so he phoned up to get Jaden one, and they said, "Oh, we're not selling the tickets now. There's too many Feyenoord fans have bought tickets in the United end, and there was several in the Stretford end. And if they'd have scored and they'd have jumped up, they'd have got fucking judo tossed about six rows down. I think there was quite a few fucking people that was up for it, but yeah, West Ham fans, complete fucking tossers, complete tossers. Not all of them, as it never is all of them.
No, it's always the minority, isn't it?
But is it every game this year that they've had? They've had fucking violence every single fucking game. Amongst themselves, in the stands. Spurs away last year. I know Spurs West Ham's a big fucking game in London, so you know that's a big derby where you'd expect that sort of shit, but why is it always them?
What they did to the United team bus.
Yeah, United team bus last year. I would definitely expect a little bit of aggro tomorrow, and I'm not fucking happy about where we're filming, to be honest. By the way, and...
Great. Was it after the game?
Yeah. When we bombed him. When Pogba's blitzed it from 40 yards and dabbed in front of him, they're all fucking going off. Racist wankers. Yeah. Love a bit of NF, don't they? The old fucking West Ham lot. Yeah. Stone Island, fucking pork pie hat, fucking big bellies and fucking England tattoos all over the
place.
Twice fucking...
in 3 days. Twice 4 days, whatever it is.
Yeah, Wednesday might be the worst one because it's at night, actually. But it'll be dark after the game on Sunday, actually, tomorrow.
We'll be dark. Yeah, it'll be dark at the start of the game as well, half four.
Half four, shit, yeah, it will be, yeah.
Half fucking four.
Surely we can't draw to West Ham. Fucking hell, mate, I hope not. West Ham from Green Street, original, go East London gangsters, that's why they think so. That, yeah, they've watched that film and gone, is that what I'm supposed to act?
Yeah.
Fucking plebs. Do I know if our Adidas deal take a hit this season if we don't get top four? It takes a hit next season, not this season.
I'm pretty confident we'll be in top four, mate. I was chatting to a guy at work and he's thinking about putting 50 quid on United to win the league now. It's 33-1.
Wow, what's that?
It's 1,500 quid, 1,600 quid, 1,700 quid.
I can see us challenging this season. But not being good enough to get it.
I don't think we'll win it.
I think there's already enough that's gone tits up to really. But there's that many top teams.
That's gone tits up. Like Tottenham just lost the first time today.
Yeah.
This season, and
they're only a couple of points above us, aren't they?
Yeah. You say teams are going to take points off each other.
It's the draws that kill you. Like we've found, like the three we've just spoke about, but obviously Tottenham have drawn quite a lot this season. They're not quite firing yet.
So, I don't get Tottenham's logic, mate. They was resting players in the Champions League to play in the Premier League so that they could qualify for the Champions League. Why would you do that?
I think they knew they'd thrown the towel in. Can Leicester win the Champions League and get relegated in the same season?
Yeah, why not? Stranger things happen. Yeah,
like when they won the league.
Yeah.
Is that stranger than them winning the Champions League and getting relegated?
I don't think they'll get relegated.
Scenes, though. The fucking scenes. They won't sack him. They can't sack him.
No. He's got a job for life, hasn't he?
I'd like to see it for the chaos.
Yeah, I would. I would love to see him in the Champions League. In Championship. Giving it a go and being a top seed as well.
Yeah, they would. They'd have to be, yeah, as winners. Yeah, they're going as a top seed. Fucking hell.
They're great. You know that, but they'd be a mass exodus there, though. So they'd be have like
the following season they'd be fucked. Yeah, and then they would have what happened to them in the Champions League. The following season's what happened to them in the league this season.
Mm.
But then they probably wouldn't even get promoted because they'd lose every fucker. Vardy 1, Gerrard 0. Oh, fucking Christ. Danny Drinkwater
won. Casper
Schmeichel won. Gerrard 0. Thoughts on the Wembley atmosphere? Oh, yeah, because since... we can talk to you about your holiday as well in a sec. But, yeah, we went to... while he was away, me and Adam went to Wembley to watch England and Scotland and felt like an away fan in the home end. I did not associate with any of these dicks that were sat around us.
Why would you want to go and watch England?
Singing God Save the Queen at random points in the game on their own, stood up. Like, what are you doing, mate?
It's
weird sitting down for a game, for starters. Yeah. I don't ever sit down for a game, but it was fairly near the front and everyone around us was sat down.
Yeah, can just let that God Save the Queen and Rule Britannia. It sounds like a shit anthem, man. It just sounds a bit archaic, doesn't it?
I've sang the anthem, playing for the country. And it don't get you inspired. It's embarrassing. Do you know what's a sick tune, though? Land of Open Glory. I'd head butt walls after singing Land of Open Glory.
No.
God Save the Queen. You can't sing that with any sort of fervour.
Unless you're Stuart Pearce.
He's not. No. Whatever. But yeah, it felt odd. It felt odd. Felt odd being there. Felt weird being there. The atmosphere was both better and worse than I expected. Better than I expected from some of the England fans. They had like an ultras end, probably just Crystal Palace fans, behind a goal on our right hand side. The left, I think, as you look at it on a telly, I'm assuming. Or will it have been? Yeah, it will have been, because I think the cameras were on our side looking at the dugouts and that.
Mm.
So the cameras on our side looking at the dugouts, so it would have been on the right. As you look at it on telly. And then on the left hand side, about 20% of the ground was was Scotland. And they give it until they was like properly out of the game.
Hmm.
And then they just fucking called it a day. But yeah, so far too many cock and balls. Way more cock and balls than you think you're going to see on a Friday night anyway. Because McCullough was going around asking them if they was wearing a kilt properly. Everyone. Every single one he saw. And he can't wait to get it out, can they? Fucking Muppets.
Is it warm?
No, it was not warm. And I would not be showing my cock if it looked like some of them that I got shown as well. At least warm it up, fella. Come on. No one wants to see that.
Is that the Friday night?
It's little and it's sick. Yeah, Friday night one. Got on about half four. I was fucked.
I've lost all track of time, me.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, obviously this week, so my little journey this week was under sweaty freeze with Illy on Monday night, watching United lose 2-0. To Sunderland, and probably borderline hypothermia. It was fucking freezing. It was the wind that killed us.
Yeah, that's always the killer. Although today in town in Manchester, it was fucking freezing.
Where have I been today? I've not really been out much today, but yeah, it has been cold. Today.
I was there this morning, and it was freezing.
Where was I yesterday? Oh shit, yeah. Also, and Tuesday I went to Glossop and Farsley. I saw them lose 2-0 with Greeny and Wiggy.
Did you put a bet on Celtic Barcelona 2-0? Because I've seen that in the comments.
No, I didn't. Shouldn't I? Yeah. Really should have.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted it. Like, wonder what score this is going to fucking be.
Could have paid for your trip, that.
2-0 away win. Well, yeah, because I would have put Messi first scorer as well. What a fucking standard. Obvious one that is.
That was a great goal, that. Great finish.
It was a good goal. Yeah. So, remember, Wednesday, check the vlog out if you want. The vlog's on this channel. Got the train up to fucking well cheap as well, 40 odd quid. I think I'm going to do that again. Next season, probably. Maybe get an hotel, though. In fact, definitely get a fucking hotel. So, got the train, 40 odd notes. Met Squawker Dave there. Had a few drinks. Now, I take... Is it in here? Is my bag in here? I've got a black baller bag. Like, do you know the hat that I wear, baller? Well, I've got a black baller bag. And I've had a couple of my squadron badges sewn onto it. What's the main theme of everything that Celtic's in? It's fucking up the rar, isn't it? It's all fucking rebel songs and shit. It's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, they do rebel. Because when they played Hapoel Beersheva...
Yeah, it might as well be an Irish club.
In the Champions League... It was knockouts, wasn't it? In the qualifying stages. They had all the Palestinian flags.
Yeah, they had all the Palestinian flags there, yeah. And there's an Irish
Free Palestine.
All there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was interesting.
They got fined, didn't they, by UEFA?
Bollocks.
Fucking scummy twats.
Decent atmosphere. The Green Brigade's interesting. I got a problem with people saying that you bring safe standing in at Old Trafford and you just get that atmosphere like that in that corner. Well, you don't. Every fucker stands in J stand as it is anyway, in our singing section. They just don't fucking sing. There's a bit of an effort to make it happen, but until you just get a load of dickhead kids in there, which is what you need 17, 18 year old lads just on a balloon. And I think if you get that, you'll get a better end. And it's the unallocated seating at away games that makes Manchester United away games the rowdiness that there is. I've never gone into an away game and gone, so where am I sat then? I go, where are you? Where are you? All right, well, that's you two over there. Let's go over there.
Yeah, or wherever, innit?
Yeah. And then, whatever. And then, obviously, so we had that crack there. Decent in the 67th minute. I put a video on Twitter and Facebook. They all light up the phones and stuff like that. And obviously, the Lisbon Lions in 67, they got a song that they sing and they all light the stadium up. That was really good. And for a couple of minutes beforehand, like, one end was singing to the other end in the build-up to it. That was pretty spine-tingling.
That, I bet that's a proper atmosphere in comparison to when they say the famous atmosphere when Anfield,
yeah,
we've been there and it's been quiet as fuck.
Dog shit, yeah. You can hear a steward telling people to sit down on the other side of the ground. Oh, mate. Yeah, and even that got exaggerated. There was a couple of people tweeting me, it was like, was that the best atmosphere you've ever seen? And I was like, no. No, it's not even in the top 10. Like, Old Trafford gets a lot of shit, but it's better than... The first few minutes, it was loud. And then, for the rest of the game, apart from the Green Brigade in the corner, it was just people just stood up watching a game like it is at every ground around the country.
I reckon, if it was the City game that they played where they drew 3-3, I bet that was rocking.
Yeah, probably. And I think if Celtic could have took the lead,
yeah,
it probably would have been rocking. But yeah, once Barcelona took the lead,
there's an
error
in it. Yeah. Area of ineffability, isn't there? When,
yeah,
especially when it's Barca.
I mean, it's one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen at Old Trafford. Obviously, 2008 when Paul Scholes scored that goal, that was fucking out of it. I mean, I was, for about 3 years, I was still singing the follow, follow, follow. But Roma 2007, unbelievable because it had gone off.
Barcelona 94, 2-2 when it was like Lee Sharp scored that back.
Like when they played in the green kit. Yeah, there's been some
because Koeman. I remember like. Whistling at what for? Because Koeman, because he scored against England in the for Holland at Wembley, I think beat him 2-0, and everyone booing him. Like, I remember that.
What's everyone commenting 420 for? What have I just missed?
Oh, it's the American thing, isn't it? 420 is that about smoking weed?
Yeah, but what? There's no. What's the relevance to 420 right now? What have I just missed?
I don't know.
Completely lost me.
What does the 4-2-0 stand for anyway?
I don't know. I don't know where it started, yeah. It's was it not a call sign from police? 420?
Oh, maybe. Don't know.
Is it something like that? Does anyone know? So there, I don't know. Someone tell us what the fuck we just missed. And then Thursday went to United. Friday went to the Cliff to watch under 18s. Fucking hell, what a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly died again. That was super cold. Super, 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 super fucking cold. Cracking game. That under-18s team at the moment is putting some fucking numbers up. That's their...
Do you reckon it's the closest thing to, like, as a group, to Class of 92? that could come through as one unit?
Well, like the Class of 92, no, because there was only like three actual Class of 92 lads. It's 420 in America, I think, what everyone's saying.
Yeah, it says 20th of April, is it?
Well, it's not 20th of April, is it? It's fucking 26th of November. Mm. But has it just gone 420 in the States? Is that what everyone's fucking going on about that?
Well, it's 10:30 now. But it's different time zones, isn't it? Not always. Behind,
yeah.
Not all of them. They're all on different time zones.
No, not all, but California is not. 8 hours.
Yeah, but they...
I don't fucking know. Whatever. But yeah, so, yeah, like the Class of 92, where Ryan Giggs was Class of 91 and Paul Scholes was Class of 93.
Mm.
But they get...
Yeah, get lumped in together.
They get collectively known as the Class of 92, because that was the year we won the Youth Cup. You've got Axel, who's already in the mix. You got Rashford and Fosu Mensah already in the mix. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson could be one that comes
through
like that.
How's he doing at Wolves?
I haven't seen the last couple of weeks. He wasn't playing for a bit, and they got a new manager, I think, and then they got a...
Oh, yeah.
I think he got back into the team, because that's what's part of his deal to go on loan, is he's got to play a certain amount of minutes and a certain amount of games, so he wasn't getting that, and that's why people were talking about him coming back, but...
Don't think he would get in this year.
No, because I don't think Mourinho was as open to pulling him in, clearly. But he would have under Van Gaal this year, because the way Shaw's been playing, I could see Van Gaal dropping him and playing Borthwick-Jackson.
Possibly.
A couple of people in the comments asking about Bastian Schweinsteiger and saying thoughts on him being in a possible 19. Fucking buzzing if he is. But yeah. I'd be amazed if he is, in all honesty. I reckon he's probably... Well, what happened is people said he was at the hotel.
Is Fellaini injured?
I don't know. He's been seen at the hotel. I'm sure he's mates with half a dozen other players, at least.
Maybe.
So if he's in town and his missus is off playing fucking tennis somewhere, maybe he's just gone to see the lads in the hotel.
Don't know. It is a massive turnaround if he's in the squad, though.
Look at some of the things that he's done already this season. Where he said Rashford's not playing. Mkhitaryan, been out in the cold. One of the lads standing behind us in the Stretford end on Thursday night goes, can you imagine this is a plan by Mourinho to piss Mkhitaryan off, like, confuse him.
And then get him proper riled up.
And then
up,
just go, bink!
Just winding him up and letting go. I mean, he played like that, didn't he?
Yeah, and then you've got that kicking in performance in November.
Well, it's maybe because Bailly kind of played because of out of a need to play from the start.
Yeah.
Pogba was always going to play.
Zlatan's always going to play.
And Zlatan's always going to play, yeah. So, and maybe he wanted to give his... He's got obviously run the rule over the players that we've got already, because we spent a lot of money over the past few years.
And he clearly knows Mkhitaryan. He clearly scouted Mkhitaryan by the looks of things. So I think it's unlikely, but it's a sexy idea to have that's what he did on purpose. It's probably too sexy to make it real, in all honesty. But
he's had a couple of knocks, Danny, as well, and he probably wants him to be ready and right, like you say, right, ready to go. And hit the ground running.
And
he's not going to be a weak character coming from Armenia.
No, is it? Fuck. People saying, should Fosu Mensah go on loan if he's not going to play? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is annoying me is Mourinho's come in and he said, we will only sign under 23. I don't know if I'm supposed to repeat this, but fuck it. We're only going to sign under 23s that he's happy to play in the first team. So he's only going to sanction signings. They've given him the reins for players to be signed for the under 23 squad, which needed players to be signed, which is partly the reason why Warren Joyce moved on, because he was like, you fucking time one hand up here for me. Mm. Like I'm struggling with what we've got here. You've allowed three of my best forward players, wingers and strikers, like Wilson and Keane and Januzaj and Pereira, to go, and you've gone, oh, you've got centre mids, play them. Like, all right, cool. So I think that was part of the reason why Warren Joyce moved on. Obviously, his own ambitions. Fair play to him. Move on. He's a good coach. The issue with Mourinho not giving a fuck about the under-23s at the moment, I've got no problem with that, in all honesty. No problem with that, in all honesty, because he's got a massive job with the first team. Now, if he gets the first team firing as he likes it, then in the summer he can say, right, let's have a look.
Well, the ultimate goal is... First team. The book stops with the first team.
Yeah, so that's... you can park with under-23s for now.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate if you're an under-23 player at the moment. I can imagine it's incredibly frustrating, but it might be a character-building exercise for you. Like, you're going to come up against shit that don't go your way. Maybe this is the first real test of that. The likes of Tuan Xavier, the likes of Roshan, the likes of Joe Riley, they're obviously good enough.
He said stuff in the press, hasn't he? Like,
his name dropped the shit out of him, yeah.
And also in terms of, like, he's knocked him down a peg too. Like, he's said stuff about Shaw. He said stuff about Martial this week, which obviously a lot of people are alluding to there, saying, is he trying to break him down and to build him back up? Quite possibly. You've got to build that mental toughness.
Oh, he's also got to find where your bottle is.
Yeah.
So if he calls you a prick and you go,
yeah,
he'd be like, right.
It's a trust element, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
He's got to know that if he sends you out on that pitch, he can trust you 100%.
We've said how many times, haven't we, about that fucking Roy Keane moment with Dwight York, where he fucking gets in his face straight away. That's not Roy Keane being a prick. It is probably not Roy Keane being a prick. But that's not why he's doing it.
He's doing it he's for doing the betterment of the team, isn't he?
To see how this fucker reacts. Yeah. Because I know what these guys do. And we don't have a Roy Keane at the club. So maybe Mourinho's got a Roy Keane in these fuckers and find out. Have they got
Which
the
I've got no problem with whatsoever.
No, if you're going to be a little bitch and see your ass over the manager criticising you, because he's not criticised anyone who didn't do anything wrong, and he's not overly criticised anyone. When he criticised Shaw, he said he was out of position. He criticised Marshall, said you're out of position. So...
That's fine. He didn't really go too hard on Rashford, did he, for the Giroud goal last week? Don't think he really said anything.
I don't think he mentioned it at all.
No. I mean, those things happen.
Maybe he's picking and choosing. The way it's gone, I would expect Rashford to get it at some fucking point, though. The way everyone's getting a taste, so maybe he'll fucking cop for it eventually. But if he cops for it, he'll have deserved it. I've got no issue. When he come out and said that about Shaw, yeah, Shaw's no agent was the one who made a big deal of it.
Yeah.
By responding to it.
Yeah, Shaw... Like, was in the press conference, wasn't he?
Yeah. You just shrug your shoulders and you go, cool, yeah. Did I fuck up, right? No problem. Yeah. But it's his agent going, shit, you're talking about my client in a negative light.
Yeah. You're going to cost him sponsorship deals, this, that and the other. I mean, it's mad.
Yeah.
Just get on with the task in hand. Like, for obviously worrying about their reputation, money, etc., blah, blah, blah. Like, Fergie always used to say, don't chase money at United. The money will come to you.
I think Matt Busby said that. Someone said it. Some fucking genius has said it. Yeah, don't chase the money at Manchester United. If you're good enough, the money's going to fucking come to you. And that's been the same since the 60s. The 50s, arguably. 6 hour drive for me tomorrow to the game, says Samuel. Where are you coming from, mate? That's a long drive, that. Is that 6 hours both ways or just one each way?
6 hour drive? Is that like Devon or something?
It's got to be. That's a long drive. That's a drive that sucks. We were talking about driving at Milan one year, wasn't it? And we got bummed. That would have been took us 2 weeks to get home.
Fuck that.
Ben says, not this guy, that guy says, I'm not convinced Shaw is going to be world class. I am, but it's taken him a lot longer than I expected to recover from his injury. He's not got the same confidence and he's not got the same touch or anything he had pre-injury.
But Ramsey took a long time to come back from that.
And he is back now.
Yeah.
He is back now.
It's a massive injury, that. Sometimes you might think, are you going to be able to walk again?
Yeah, well, look at Anderson Silva. When he broke his fucking leg kicking Chris Weidman, how tentative would he have kicked the bag that first time back?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God.
Don't matter who you are, what you do.
Speaking of UFC, UFC 206 main event, one I was absolutely looking forward to. DC against Rumble Johnson, my two boys. DC's out injured. Main event's off. Fucking wounded. Proper fucking wounded. Will Connor step in and fight him? give me that fucking lightweight one!
And they took that off him?
Not yet. They've not took the featherweight off him yet, but they might. Who's our best in the 10, says Oliver Payne?
That's a difficult one.
Top of my head, I'd say Matter. I don't think we're playing 4-2-3-1. I like that.
We're playing like 4-1-4-1, like on Thursday. Didn't
I couldn't work it out actually on Thursday what we was playing. It was very fluid, which I'm a big fan of. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure what it was. I thought it was 4-3-3, but yeah, it could have been 4-1-4-1. Valencia is awesome, says Ben Ovendon. We love Tony Valencia, don't we?
Yeah, man.
We do love Tony Valencia.
Sick guy.
That's the attitude I like to see from players. Now, no one's intruding into that guy's private life because he doesn't chase sponsorships, he doesn't chase that sort of shit. And when he comes out onto the pitch, there's no such thing as a 50-50 ball with Antonio Valencia.
Nah. I mean, when he come back from his injury, he wasn't the same player. At that point, it took him a while to get that.
I think he's excellent as a right back at the moment.
Yeah.
He suits our system because obviously we play quite offensive fullbacks. I think there's clangers in his game, left, right, and centre as a fullback. He's not a good technical fullback. He's jockeying.
Turned him into one,
isn't
it?
The technical aspects of his game, his heading and stuff like that, it's not great. But he makes up for a lot of it by being an absolute fucking brick wall, doesn't he? So if you're a shit-hot winger and you come up against Tony Valencia, he's going to get physical with you and he's going to put you off your game and you're not beating him for pace. So he can make up with a lot of that stuff.
And if you're Raheem Sterling, he's going to fuck you up.
I guarantee when he brought him on, he was like, don't play me on the left.
Yeah. Please, boss.
Can I play down the middle? I bet he still has nightmares of him standing there. Because he doesn't say now, does he? Just fucking boom. Yeah, I love Tony Valencia. Fucking hell, I do love Antonio Valencia. If we had more players like that.
Yeah. Well, it's just the
Would you take Evra back on a free?
Yeah.
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 Would he come as well? Yeah.
Well, you know that he said that he would.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to, but United won't have him back.
Yeah. And I don't know if we can say this or not, but he was basically told we was going to put all our eggs in a Luke Shaw basket, or a Luke Shaw-shaped basket. And he was like, so you need to sling it, mate.
It is a shame, really.
Which is a fucking joke of a way to treat a guy that would literally die for a cause. But Paddy Evra's Instagram is a thing of beauty, isn't it?
Is this that video he's done before, like a training one?
It's the one he's just a panda. He's like, I'm saying no to racism. I'm black, white, and Asian, and chubby.
But like, he's got class as well in terms of like, obviously he's put comments on about Suarez.
Yeah.
No,
he did
not
on Gerrard, didn't he?
Yeah, I've done on Gerrard.
That guy is fucking excellent. Mm. That what a fucking guy. And when we talk about where United have fell off these last 3 years and people are looking, oh shit.
Character.
Sir Alex Ferguson left and we all fell to pot. No, actually, Sir Alex Ferguson left, Giggs, Scholes, Rio Ferdinand, Nemanja Vidic and Paddy Evra left, amongst others. Now, can you imagine what being in a dressing room with him's like? Not just in a dressing room on a Saturday either. I'm talking like day-to-day dressing room. Half nine, you're in there in the morning. He's playing some stupid fucking music and dancing.
In his boxes or something, his little Y-fronts.
And you walk in a bad mood. Nah, that bad mood's gone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah. It's...
That's the characters that you lose. And I think it's a combination of all. It's not just the character, but it's the experience. It's the leadership abilities on and off the pitch, but it's also the sheer quality that they've got. The sheer quality.
Yeah, that's the desire as well.
The highest of standards, but also the knowing. You know, Ryan Giggs and Paul Scholes, can you imagine? They've been there, done that, won it all, seen every possible scenario, every hateful home end that you could have fucking had, all of the shit that you could have seen. They've seen their mate Beckham go through it, like the crowd's booing you. Yeah, did they hang you? No, shut the fuck up. Right, so can you imagine being in a dressing room at half time? Can you imagine being in a dressing room at half time when you're losing or drawing, right? Think of what these two cunts have been like since they retired as pundits. Roy Keane and Paul Scholes, right? So you're sitting in a dressing room, look how much they've hammered United since they retired. Can you imagine the standards that they've got in a dressing room? Now, they're being pretty fucking reserved on TV. I think they'd have gone apeshit.
Yeah, they would have teared strips off each other.
You're sitting there like, fucking hell, right, we'll go out and win then, just to fucking shut you up, you fucking nutcase. Especially Keane.
Yeah.
And then, if you've not got those two, you've got fucking Fergie.
Fucking, yeah, Keane would have had your dog dead before you even got, before you even got home, innit?
I don't know, he loves his dogs, don't he? He's a big dog lover. Yeah, but
probably your missus then.
Wayne Rooney, legend or not? Now, that's a very, very long topic, but for me, no. Is the short answer is no. I think you've got to have numerous things, and here's the things you've got to have. There's no checkbox where you can like check all the boxes off and go, you're now a legend. It's a gut feeling thing, and there's got to be a connection. It's not just a pure stats thing. It's not a pure stats thing.
No.
It's about, did he connect with the fans? Did he achieve a lot in his game? It doesn't matter.
He's won everything. Mad that.
But he hasn't connected with the fans in the slightest. And I think that's what his legacy will be. He will leave the club and no one will fucking care.
I think that's a bit harsh to say no one will care. There's still people who, like, idolise him.
There is. And there definitely is after reading half the comments on Full Time Devils this week when I fucking rinsed him. But I think the connection with the fans is the big one. And that could, that might not be Rooney. Rooney might have the connection with the fans. It might be fucking Stretford. Because I'll tell you this for free, Stretford definitely is a cunt. Definitely. And it's him, if it's him that's advising Rooney, then maybe that's why Rooney comes off. Someone says Rooney doesn't seem, Ben says Rooney doesn't seem very bright. No, he doesn't. So maybe he's gone, just don't fucking talk on Twitter. I mean, like, Rooney's old tweets is some of the funniest shit you will ever see. Like when he threatens to knock himself out and calls himself a little girl. When he tells Rio, but doesn't at him, I'm going to pick you up in the morning. Yeah. Some people are saying that the transfer request can't be forgotten. No, I can, but some people can't. Yeah. I mean, this is the, everyone's different. Is he? Here's the thing, right? Is he a legend to me? No. Is he a legend to some people? Yeah. And that's it. And I don't say you're wrong if you think Rooney's a legend. You can't tell me I'm wrong if I don't think he's a legend. And the fact that if he breaks the record, that doesn't make him a legend either. No, you can't look at just pure achievements. Maybe apart from Ryan Giggs, because he's won more than anybody else in the history of the game, maybe you can just look at achievements alone for Ryan Giggs. But you can't just look at achievements carte blanche and say, because you've won X, you're a legend. John O'Shea's got 5 league titles or 4 league titles. No, 5. Eric Cantona's only got 4. Is he a bigger legend than Cantona? No. It's a feeling. It's a, what did they do in the shirt? Did you feel like they would fucking bleed for the shirt? There's so many nuances that there's no right answer.
Yeah, because that's not everyone's character, is it? Some people do take the club that way. Some people don't. As long as you give everything out on the pitch.
And that's the issue, is that I don't think you do with Rooney. I think Rooney, you can see when he's fucked up, when he brings on that extra 15%.
Mm.
Well, why is there an extra 15% to be had? When was the last time you seen him get a man of the match? That's the one.
He's probably been FA paid, Cup final, wasn't it?
He's probably been paid 60 million since he had a fucking good game. Neville and Rooney, two different things. Yeah, is Gary Neville a United legend? Probably. Is Wayne Rooney in anyone's all-time United 11? Probably not, because you didn't nail a position down like some people. Obviously, you had specialist players who played in specialist positions. You go, well, that's a centre-forward. But Ruud van Nistelrooy, I don't think, made my all-time United 11. What a fucking goal scorer he was.
Because the problem is, I think we've said it before, we've been blessed to watch like some unbelievable footballers.
Spoiled, I think, is the word I'd use. Blessed is, fucking hell.
Spoiled then. But like, others, it's easy to make an all-time 11.
If you're a Wolves fan, you go, Steve Bull's in, straight away, and then I don't fucking know who the rest of them are. No, fucking no. Dean Marnie, is he one?
Dean Marnie?
I don't know. Does he play for them?
No, he's going for Burnley today.
I'm fucking up. Rooney fucked his career for the club, to be fair. If he'd have left 3 years ago, maybe he would have thought of as a legend yet. Fergie was getting him out the door. I was told from someone inside the club that he was fucking gone as fuck. Moyes thought he knew better. But I'll give him that. First half of Moyes' season, Rooney, when he had that fucking bra on his head, was quality.
Yeah. But that's playing with a bit of fire in his belly again.
Yeah, arguably, yeah.
Due to an incident that happened, something that had happened that triggers it.
To have a manager for 25 years is unheard of. It is unheard of. And to think that's ever going to happen again is wild. And obviously people are romanticising, what if Ryan Giggs came back and did that? Well, there's no evidence that he's going to do that. Ryan Giggs needs to go and get himself a job at the moment.
But he's probably biding his time, isn't he?
I know he's biding his time.
But I don't see why. What's MK Don's fantasy of trying to give Giggs a job and then go for Gerrard? What do you reckon?
There's some talk that Gerrard's going for an England job like Neville did, like as an assistant at England. Would he be best off going to Liverpool and learning under Klopp? Or is that maybe too much pressure for Klopp?
Klopp doesn't have pressure. He just has rose petals.
Did you see them pricks before? Someone tweeted it. I quote tweeted it. Check my Twitter timeline earlier. Some Liverpool fan was like, the fourth official put the clock up and Klopp ran over to him.
I think all the people say it though, don't they? Players, you see
how about achieve something? Nicky Butt fucking offered him out on Monday night.
Yeah,
fourth official. Nicky Butt was an angry man on Monday night, mate. Fucking hell.
Of course. There's always been one.
Ryan Giggs or Zidane after Mourinho, says Nathan James. No, it's not. It was Jacob Lewis. On current form, fucking hell, like they're 31 games undefeated, Real Madrid. I got that one wrong. Both my hands up.
Yeah, but that, I think that's more down to luck than anything else. I think there's a lot of luck that's been afforded to him.
They've also got
he's banned from Vegas.
What? Zidane's banned from Vegas?
It's a joke. Shit one, but you know.
Why?
Well, because he's that lucky.
Oh. Fucking hell. Should I call you a taxi?
Well, yeah, it's fucking
hell. Fuck me, that was shit.
I was throwing it in there.
Fucking hell. I think I'm going to put you on a joke ban for 2 weeks.
I'm fucking tired. You've got a 2-year-old that thinks.
So, yeah, what talks to the people about how was your holiday then? So, the reason he's not been here for 3 weeks or whatever, how long it was.
Been away, yeah. It's been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Where'd you go?
Went to Abu Dhabi first, 3 days. That was quite
nice. I know I'm asking for you fuckers.
It was quite nice, to be fair. It was winter, but 30 odd degrees. Everything's like brand new. Like construction site.
Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, pretty
much. Well, it was a fucking desert, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it still is a desert, but, you know, I don't know. It's like, I think it's only been like 40 odd years, maybe, that it's existed.
There's one of the Dubai Strip, isn't there? There's like a main drag through the main road, I think it's a motorway, Dubai, and it's got like 1982, it's like 3 blocks of flats on it, and then now it's like the city.
Oh, the skyscrapers, like, seeing. Used to think Manchester had pretty tall buildings or London had tall buildings. You go to these places,
it's
like...
It's got the biggest in the world, isn't it?
Abu Dhabi, and it's like, fucking hell, everything's like massive. And getting a taxi to the airport, because then we moved on to Langkawi in Malaysia. So I said, where are you going to an airport? He went, which one? I was like, what do you mean, which one?
Like, oh shit, let me find the documents.
I said, Abu Dhabi fucking airport. I said, which one do you think he was? Well, you could have been going Dubai. So like, really? Like my drug physically, where the fuck am I? He said, how long does it take? He said,
it's quite close.
4 hours to drive there.
I thought it was close.
So I was like, why would I get in a fucking taxi to go 4 hours to go to the airport, mate? It's not happening.
Shit, do people do that?
I don't know. I hope you're
getting me one of them neck pillows.
Do you know, in comparison to like, cab fares over here, it's like, you can go anywhere, it's cheap as fuck. Like, my highlight of my trip was my cab journeys and how cheap they were. But because it was dirt cheap. It was in Langkawi, it was amazing.
Petrol's cheaper than water.
Bizarrely, petrol's cheaper in Malaysia than it is in Abu Dhabi.
Is that because they pumped it up because everyone's loaded?
But they produce the fucker.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, Langkawi was amazing. A beach, tranquil, peaceful. It's like, had monkeys running about in my hotel.
I'd love a pet monkey.
Yeah. It was set in a rainforest, 10 million year old rainforest. And they do a lot of conservation stuff at the hotel that I was staying in called the Andaman. And because the tsunami destroyed the coral in 2004, that got affected.
The forest was all right though?
It's been there 10 million years. Oh. It survived a lot more than a tsunami. But I don't think, where Langkawi wasn't the worst affected place, it was more like up the coast.
I to think that a tsunami, was it 2004?
2004, I think it was.
Yeah, it might have been 2004, yeah.
But you still see remnants of it because like bits of the coral wash up on that, but they're trying their best to preserve it because it lost a lot of marine life.
You don't think of the coral, but yeah, that would have got smashed as the tsunami came through, innit?
Yeah.
But how many people did it kill? Did it kill hundreds of millions?
No, I think about 250,000.
Was that it?
What do you mean? Was that it? Yeah.
I thought it was in the millions. Was it displaced people in the movies?
It wrecked a lot of shit. It wrecked a lot of shit.
It's mad, isn't it? Because in all the films, like Deep Impact and shit, the tsunamis are fucking like as high as skyscrapers and they come smashing in like that.
But if it's about 5 metres high, because they were saying, wow. Like on the beach, you're saying, as you walk into the beach, tsunami, in case of tsunami, well, obviously run like fuck and get to...
Third floor or above.
Well, lobby was... Reception, yeah, fourth floor, essentially, so, but
it doesn't, I mean, it just sort of comes, like tide comes in, tide goes out, it just comes in and keeps coming, doesn't it? It doesn't come like, boom, like then, you'd see in a film, well, it just stays coming in, and you're like, oh shit, where the fuck's that going?
Well, we was on the beach, like, it was bizarre, because some days the tide was really, really high on the beach, and there was little beach there, and then other days, or one day in particular, the tide was that far out, there was like a little island about maybe 500 metres, probably maybe a bit further, obviously distance than there, but the tide went out that far, all the rocks were exposed to the side, and you could have probably walked across there rather than
500 meters
kayaking. Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit!
It was mad, and like I walked down the beach, and it was beautiful, proper. Like there's nothing there, just on a beach. There's one hotel, and there's another hotel.
And monkeys.
Monkeys, mate.
Did jack your shit?
Nah, they were chilling. They were just chilling. They were chilling in the trees. They were chilling all over the place. Like not on the beach.
Monkeys like steal people's keys and things.
Well, they said like don't feed them because we have like people who come and help us with the monkeys and all that sort of thing. But they weren't arsed. They were in the trees just feed. They were feeding on the leaves and stuff. And then there was like them little gecko lizards running about everywhere on the walls. One guy, security guard, had like the gripper. Rod grip or whatever, and it had a fucking snake in it, and I thought, fuck this. Yes, and then
Southeast Asia, I don't want to be fucking with any of them insects and shit.
And then one time in the pool, we was walking back towards the room, and I was like, what the fuck's that? It looked like there's a lizard popping out of the pool, because it was obviously set in the rainforest. And then in the pool, they still got the trees and stuff carved out and whatever, like, you know, raised up a bit.
Yeah.
And there's these two lizards, and they fucking darted in the pool across, and I'm filming it, and then they jumped out and they were massive. They must have been about that big, probably about that big. And you're like,
lizard?
Yeah, lizard, two of them. And like even the staff were going nowhere near him, and he was like, it's poisonous.
Oh.
And you're like, fuck this. But there was so many like,
Komodo dragons, aren't they, from around there somewhere?
I don't know. It was mad. Once you got used to like the wildlife, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. But it was great just to be at one with nature and being somewhere so like, I mean, I don't think I've seen any pictures.
You showed me a few. You showed me one of the apartment when you was in the city.
That was in, because we went to Kuala Lumpur, yeah, for 3 days, and that's a sick place as well. Like,
that's all new as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's mad. Again, they've got like their patrol, they've got the Twin Towers. I thought they knocked that down, but
fucking big in Singapore, me son, on 11 Sports every Monday.
Well,
everyone's in Singapore.
Singapore literally is, oh shit, about, you can, from Kuala Lumpur, it's like an hour away on a flight. It's mad how close everything is, and you could just jump on planes off and on, and it's like 15 quid a flight.
Well, that's what Wadi was saying, innit? It jibs over all the time from Indonesia to Singapore.
Yeah, mad, and like, you that's what I'm saying, you think about how much things would cost you to go to, I mean, I know we have like budget airlines and stuff like that, but these are like decent, you know, hour flights and stuff. You're like, yeah, I do it all the time. And I was surprised, because they have the Malaysian Grand Prix, and they also have the Singapore Grand Prix, which they're not that far in terms of distance.
Are they the same sort of fucked up prices that it is here? Because it's like 2 ton to go to the Silverstone.
Oh, I don't know how much it is for the British Grand Prix. Fucked up, I mean, the cost of living, because the pound is like decent against the ringgit. So we went to Nando's one day, just because we went to. Don't get me wrong, I was eating Malaysian food like every day. But we went to Chinatown one night. And, you know, obviously you got to go to Chinatown. It's got the markets on and stuff like that.
Chinatown where? In Malaysia?
Yeah, yeah. In Kuala Lumpur. Look, it's Malaysia. It's not China.
Oh, I know. But
it's a different,
fucking hell.
It's a different country.
It's like going to an Irish pub in Scotland.
Yeah, but people do it, don't they? But we went there anyway, and it was late. It was hot and sticky. And I needed some food, like, and Jasmine was ready for bed. So I was like, wow, fuck it. I'm not really fancying eating some street food.
Did any of the street sellers have bugs?
I didn't see any, because we were staying. We didn't really go into the street food sellers, because they thought, oh, I don't really want to do that, because I'm going home soon, and I can't be asked with a dicky tummy. So I thought, oh, I'll just go Nando's, and like, because they were bizarre. Remember, it's like they got fucking Marks and Spencers and stuff, and Debenhams, and all sorts of like.
Yeah, it's weird. Globalisation fucks the world.
British stuff, and you're like,
because you do want to see the real, like I think I've said it on here before, like when I went to Oman, I bought a chicken curry from a service station, which was like, it was a mom and pop service station, or a pop, there's no mom about, and they had the chickens in like wooden cages behind the fucking counter and stuff, and you're like, yeah, I'll have a fucking bit of chicken, bit of chicken on the bone, you know. No,
beautiful as well.
It was mint, blew my arsehole out, but it was fucking mint.
I think, because there's a lot of genetically modified shit that we eat. And like, we're usually eating a lot of natural food over there.
UK and Europe's not so bad, because, and see, that's because of the regulations. Brexit fucked up on, because the regulations stop all that shit. But America, mate.
Yeah, put fucking steroids in your cow.
Yeah, the steroids and antibiotics in everything.
Yeah, so, it's mad. But it was amazing. Gutting them all. As you tell, back at work now.
Got to do the grind, lad.
That was grim.
Got to save up and go again.
Yeah, right, I definitely.
You going back there again next, or are you going to go somewhere else?
I don't know. No, because we was chatting to. Because it's mad. There's British people there, but there's not that many British people there.
Just packed back in weird, smelly, fucking bead wearing weirdos.
No, we was in like nice places. We was not. You can go and stay in like them places.
That's a backpacking destination, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we went to. When we was in Langkawi, we went to. I think it was Chennai, I can't remember the fucking name of it. I always get it mixed up. But we went into like a little town, and there was backpacking rooms that you could stay in hostels or whatever. And there was like £6 a night, equivalent of £6 a night or something. But it would have been hot and sticky there. For real.
Aircon, no danger.
Oh, mate, yeah, whack that on full. Whack it on full. But it was a beautiful place. I would definitely recommend it. I would love to. I reckon I could live in Kuala Lumpur, mate. And you know, for a couple of years and that, go work there. Because it's a vibrant city. It's going on. There's everything. You can do whatever you want there. Well, everything's there.
Like, look at it's fucking very, Beijing. Like,
it's very, very modern.
Shit's popping off in Beijing, left, right and centre. Like, and people are... I mean, I don't know how many people live in Beijing. It's what, 50, 60 million or some fucking crazy shit like that? There must be fucking like half a million English over there. I'm sure there's a subculture.
Oh, yeah. It's mad because, you know, like... Have you listened to that podcast with Gary Neville we did with Guillaume Balaguer?
Yeah.
And Gary Neville talks about, like, city living. I think we spoke about it, saying, like, people do live in the city, but it's not city living because there's not schools, there's not these, like, you know, places.
Yeah, we were talking about whole town and stuff.
Yeah, but, like, in those sort of places, in Abu Dhabi, in Malaysia, that
sort of
thing.
Yeah, there's no suburb. They've got schools and shit.
They're banging the city centre, but they have, like... The buildings that they live in.
I've seen Karate Kid with Jaden Smith.
But the buildings that they live in are like massive, but they're nice as well. They've got the gym, you've got everything on there, and then obviously you've got like.
Well, I wonder how people in like Manhattan deal with it. Dearest place, second dearest place living in the world behind like San Francisco, I think. But San Francisco is more suburby anyway, as a city centre, isn't it? Very like Manchester, I thought, San Francisco in that sense.
Yeah.
But. I mean, you quickly get into the suburbs where people have got like semi-detached houses and detached houses really fast in San Francisco.
And no taxis come around there, believe it or not.
I didn't see any, actually.
Yeah, well, another story, but we got fucking lost there.
I'm trying to think if we got a taxi. Because we got a...
They're only at like scheduled places and they don't really go into those, like, they're not just driving around. Like, round here, you could just flag one down or whatever, or you could ring someone and pick them up. They don't fucking exist around there.
Is that why Uber took off and people think it's the best thing in the world?
Probably, yeah.
Because it didn't fucking have it.
Well, yeah, because it's there. You can, you know where it is. It's located. It's round there. You can see when it's in proximity, how long it's going to take to get there.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it started in San Francisco, didn't it? So maybe that's why it kicked off to the level it did. Because I'm trying to think. Like, we went to watch, I can't remember the fucking name of it. It might be just like Murphy's or something fucking generic like that. But we went to go to watch a...
You went to an Irish bar in the...
To watch United. It was the only place that had a game on. It was San Francisco Supporters Club. We went and watched a game with them when we was in San Francisco. And I think it was the Swansea game. It was the Swansea game. And was like, oh, it's only like 0.8 of a mile away. It took us fucking ages to get there.
Yeah.
Especially in the hills. It took us fucking ages. And I think we were debating getting a taxi back. Yeah, we didn't say fuck all. I mean, we did get there for like... Kickoff was 6 a.m. over there or something fucking mad like that.
Oh, yeah, I watched the Swansea game. In Langkawi, that was at 11 o'clock at night on the Sunday before the international break. It was 3 o'clock, yeah.
What score was it?
3-0 on a 3-1. Pogba scored that screamer, Zlatan scored two.
I remember it. See, my memory's fucked. Should we call it a fucking day?
Yeah,
anyway, lads, thank you for joining us. Make sure to download this, Tops the Pot. Go download that, hit Reddit up. Reddit is where you get all the information now off the video, and you can ask us any questions that you need and win yourself a fucking PS4. And we'll be doing one of these every single month. So go download the app. Let us know on Reddit when you've done it. Let me know on Twitter when you've done it. And hit Reddit up for all the information that's coming out. But
you want to use the hashtag? We're going to use hashtag tops the pot.
Tops the pot. It's not hard. Hashtag tops the pot. So thank you, everybody, that's joined us this evening. Thank you if you watched it. After it's been uploaded, head over to reddit.com/r/housen, and we'll talk about anything, any questions anybody's got, but it's going to be completely free to enter. As long as you're 18 and in the UK, you can come along and you can play it, and we're going to drop some sick prizes. And if you do want to do some betting, then we're going to do the £2 to £1,000 or possibly £1,000,000 challenge. Woo-hoo. In fact, if we get it to £1,000, we're going to £1,000,000, aren't we? We're going to fucking keep it rolling.
Why not? Then we can. Then that's it then. I'm done with work.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, that's watching us. If you're coming to the West Ham game tomorrow, come and find us. Don't know where we are pre-game. Don't know where we are after the game. Going to be trying not to get digged off West Ham fans. But there you go.
And Danny Dyer.
Oh, yeah. And Danny Dyer, proper fucking naughty. And but yeah, thanks for watching. If you're listening on iTunes, all the information will be in the description on iTunes, so head over to Reddit, get more involved in us on Reddit. And also, where's my sweet jar? I can't reach it from here, can I? The best comment on Reddit is getting that sweet jar, the one that I've shown. In fact, you know what, hang on, I'll get it.
I wanted to dip into that before because we had technical issues for what was it, 30 minutes at least today, even though we was 10 minutes early, and I wanted to eat some of these sweets, but I was told off.
Retro sweet jar. We've got Fizz Whizzes, drumsticks, whams.
What are they? Like,
refreshers.
Are they sweets then?
Yeah, I think so. You got all sorts of sherbets. Tubble gum. I mean, it smells mint in all honesty.
Fizz Whizz. Double dip.
All this shit, mate, is absolutely jam-packed. You know, the dog's having a bit now. Get out.
You better not have any of them Palmer violets in there.
They're definitely in
there. They fucking are as well.
But they're definitely in there.
Who fucking eats them? What sadistic twat eats Palmer violets?
If you want to win this, the best comment on Reddit this week, so that's submit a link, submit a self-post talking about something, the best comment, the best question, anything that fucking pulls up like that. So, I still haven't sold it. I'm not selling it. Giving it away.
We don't sell shit on this channel. It's not QVC.
No, we just give you shit. So you're getting a PS4 and you might get yourself some retro sweets. Fucking hell, who's better than you? Anyway, all right, fuck off. We're getting out of here. Thanks for joining us. See you in a bit.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Yeah.